Today we want to think on the subject of resurrection life. We've just come through the Easter season, and so I wanted to bring a message connected to Easter. We want to look at 1 Peter 1:3 to begin with. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again from the grave. His resurrection assures the believer in Jesus Christ of new life now, of a new resurrection body at his coming, and of life forevermore. And we want to think upon that this morning. First of all, we want to look at resurrection life pictured. And I want to look back at Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23. It was about 8:30 in the morning in Jerusalem. The sun was up and shining brightly. The Passover lamb had been eaten the night before, and except for a lot of activity at Pilate's judgment hall, the city was still relatively quiet. There was one man in Jerusalem who could not see the rising of the sun. For him, day and night were alike, except for the occasional light from a torch carried by the prison guard. Life for him was in darkness. His room was a dark, damp, dirty prison cell down under the ground, and his name was Barabbas. And he was in prison because he had led an uprising against the Roman government and had committed murder. So there was a double charge against him. He was a rebel and a murderer. He was an enemy of Rome and of the Jews and was living in darkness there in prison. Then all at once, he heard someone coming. There were voices and a light. Soldiers and the guard unlocked the prison door and called him by name. Barabbas, get up and come with us. Pilate wants you. They grabbed him, and in between two soldiers, they walked up the steps, opened the door into a light room. They crossed the room and opened another door and stepped out into the bright sunshine. Barabbas probably couldn't hold his eyes open because he had been in dark so long. The light was too bright. As they walked, he probably squinted his eyes, trying to become accustomed to the light. Finally, they entered into the judgment hall before Pilate. There were soldiers there. There was a crowd of Jewish leaders and people. And then there was a man dressed in a white robe. His face was bruised and bloody. His garments were bloodstained. People were yelling that they should crucify him. Then Pilate spoke, "Barabbas, it is the custom that during the Jewish Passover, a prisoner be released. You are free." We read this account in Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 16 through 25. "I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. And they cried all at once, saying, 'Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto, them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they desired. And he released unto them Jesus, they released unto him Barabbas, that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but they delivered Jesus to their will. Now Jesus, the just one and the righteous one, died in the place of this convicted, hardened criminal, Barabbas. Barabbas was delivered from physical darkness to light, and from physical bondage to freedom, and from the sentence of death to life. The release of Barabbas physically was a picture of that which would happen spiritually in the lives of multitudes following the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died on Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood and was buried and rose again, every sinner that personally acknowledges their sinfulness and accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is delivered from spiritual darkness to life, light, and from spiritual bondage to freedom. Every sinner has the sentence of condemnation removed when they receive Christ as their Savior, and they receive everlasting life and have the hope of resurrection from the grave when the rapture takes place. Secondly, we see resurrection life experienced. Now we are 2,000 years later, and multitudes have already experienced that new life in Christ. While Jesus was yet on the cross, one of the thieves that were being crucified on each side of him experienced it. Notice in Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 39 through 43, we read, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him," Jesus, "saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, following Jesus' death, a centurion experienced it. And we read in Mark chapter 15, verses 37 to 39, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood near him, near the cross, saw that he so cried and gave up the spirit, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Now, this centurion personally acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God and probably placed his faith in him at that time. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we read, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So, on Pentecost and following, multitudes trusted Christ and received that new life. And then, one more example, we read in Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 12 through 18. Whereupon, and the Apostle Paul is talking, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks or against my chastisement and my and going on. And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith.'" Saul of Tarsus was converted there, and many of us since have received that new life. We have experienced spiritually what Barabbas experienced physically on that crucifixion day. Have you experienced it? If not, you can. Life is promised to whosoever will place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sin and receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Now, thirdly, we see resurrection life promised. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that verse we read at the beginning, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The believer in Jesus Christ is begotten, or in other words, born again, is made alive, is given new life. Jesus shed his blood for our sin, and the resurrection assures us that his blood is effective for the cleansing of whoever will accept Christ as their Savior. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Romans 4, verse 25, we read, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Or justification means that we were declared righteous. We were declared to be in right standing with God. Every one of us are born sinners, and we're sinners by birth. But when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified, declared to be in right standing with God. And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places. And so, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are made a citizen of heaven. And that's our home, and that's where we belong. When I was born in the old farmhouse back in near Dysart, Iowa, when I was born, I was a citizen of the United States of America. But when I was born again and received Jesus as my Savior, then I became a citizen of heaven. And even though we live in a really nice home now, yet our real best home is yet ahead. It's in heaven. And that's where we belong, where we're citizens, and where our true home will be for all eternity. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, we read, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and notice the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That I may know the power of his resurrection. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us, and we receive the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We receive that power in order that we might live for God, that we might serve Him, that we might have victory over temptation, and that we might live a holy life. Turning back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 23, we read, Now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man, Adam, came death, by man also, Jesus, came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die, or are dead spiritually and die physically, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So we're sinners, but when we receive Christ, we shall be made alive at his coming. We'll receive a new body that is without pain or any kind of problems. It'll be a perfect body, but this is true only for those who have received Christ as their Savior. Going further in 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 53, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible or without any kind of pain or physical problems, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible body of corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal, having a body that dies, must put on immortality. Or in other words, when Christ returns and we go to be with him, we will receive a new body and it will experience no kind of pain or problems, and it will never die physically. We shall live forever with the Lord. Now, Barabbas was given physical freedom because Jesus died in his place. We who have received Christ as our Savior receive spiritual life and freedom. Excuse me. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a drastic change took place in Barabbas physically. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, we have spiritually a greater change. A drastic change takes place in our lives spiritually, for we belong to God. Our real home is in heaven, and one day at the rapture, we'll receive a new body that will never, never die. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we encourage you today to make that decision and become a child of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what Jesus did, that he died for us, he shed his blood for our sin, and he rose again from the grave. And because of that, when we receive Christ as our Savior, our sins are forgiven, and we have new life, resurrection life. And one day when Christ returns, we shall be resurrected, and we shall meet Christ in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, and we shall live forever with the Lord. Father, if there's anybody that's listening to this that has not made that decision yet to receive Christ, I pray that today they would receive him as their personal Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.